Jesus said, "These words I speak unto you are spirit and they are life." So we need to be hearing what God is saying to us, because even as our bodies need nourishment, so our souls, right? We need the Word of God to live. The problem is that people are not receiving or hearing the Word of God, and therefore they are either malnourished or they're spiritually dead. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And not just any word, but what God is speaking to us is life-giving. And so we pray and ask the Holy Spirit to speak through us, amen, and to share His heart with us. And that's what we do, because otherwise we're just parroting, all right, a dead letter. And we want to be hearing and speaking the truth, and it's the truth that sets people free, amen. Many of us have been deceived, have believed a lie as though it were true, because we didn't know what the truth standard was. And today we're being presented a message that truth is whatever you want it to be. And that's just like saying, well, if you don't believe that stop sign means anything, because to you that's not truth, then you go ahead and run it all you want. How many know that there has to be standards? How many here have personal standards? I hope you have a personal standard. Maybe when you get up in the morning, you could at least brush your teeth, right? And when you look in the mirror and the mirror says wash, right? You do something and jump into the shower, get yourself together. You have an order, right, to your life. You have some principles, I assume, right? Amen? And there is a strategy that God has for our lives. There is a plan that He has for our lives. And if we don't understand who we are, what our purpose is, then we spend ourselves foolishly. We waste our lives in vanity. And that's what it's like to live a life independent of your Creator, who created you with purpose. It's to live in vanity. It's to be living wastefully. We have a certain window of opportunity, a certain timeline called life. What are we going to do during that time that God gave us? Jesus said, store up for yourself treasures where? In heaven. Don't spend everything and all your time and energy on the temporal things of this world. As we said before, if you know the ship is sinking, don't keep investing in it. Right? If the bank is going to crash, you don't put your money in it. Right? If you know the boat has holes in it, you don't sail on it. All right, it's time for us to get on the ship, the good ship, not lollipop, but Jesus. Amen. So we're going to find stability and we're going to have a place of refuge in Him. All right. The Lord wants us to find our rest, not in drugs or alcohol or the things this world offers you, but your rest in Him. And He's a peace that passes all understanding. So today's message title is Standing Firm in faith, standing firm in faith. I've said it before, but the enemy is after your faith. He wants to get you and I into doubt, into unbelief. And we are engaged in a truth war. It's an information war. How many know that what you listen to and what you believe will determine the course of your life? So we need to know what is true, what is authentic, so that we're not following a lie. And our media is very good at presenting their own narrative. And we need to know what God is saying so that we can compare that to what the world is saying. And so we can hold on to that which is good. We test all things, but we need to spit out the bones. And God, by His Holy Spirit, will enable us to discern and to know what is of Him and what is not. And so before we can know what is true, we need to hear the word of truth. And before we can believe it and act upon it, the devil knows this. So he seeks to sow confusion, because his goal is to divide your mind. His goal is to divide our nation. But he wants to first divide us in our minds, so that we're flip-flopping back and forth. Even with the winds of doctrine, so many teachings and prophets and teachers that are out and about, and they're all supposedly speaking for God, but some, they don't seem to agree, do they? How do you know what is true? How do you know what to hold on to? What is good? Well, anything that aligns with God's word is good. Would you agree? Anything that aligns with the truth as presented to us by Jesus and the apostles. And it's the Holy Spirit that God has given to us, His church, to be the teacher within us, the anointing that teaches us, that reveals to us what is good, what is authentic. And we have to be careful, guys, because there is a spiritual minefield right now. Amen. There are so many traps and so many different messages that we're hearing that causes confusion for the purpose of sowing, well, unbelief, but also causing confusion and to divide again your mind. Because a double-minded man, James said, in the book of James, was what? Unstable in all of his ways. So stability comes when you know what is true and you build your life upon that principle of truth. Amen? That's what keeps you in order, keeps you, all right, walking the straight and narrow, if you will, is knowing what God is saying, grabbing a hold of that, and staying the course. There's a lot of information being tossed around right now. I don't know all the answers. Neither do you. But we're all searching for the truth. And Jesus said, ask and you shall receive, and seek and you shall find. Not everything is offered to us on a platter, okay? We have to dig in and we have to investigate and we have to use the reason God gives us, but also coupled with the discernment of the Holy Spirit. And you're not going to have discernment or the ability to see clearly if you're living a sinful life in rebellion to God, first of all, or if you're not a person of prayer. If you draw near to God, He said He would what? Draw near to us. And so, otherwise, we're just going by what people are telling us and hoping they're telling the truth. I've been fooled. You've been fooled. But double-mindedness, the splitting of our minds, if you will prevent us from receiving from God. In James chapter 1, verse 5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So we need to ask in faith. Now, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we need to hear from God first. We need to know what God is saying, and then we need to mix faith with the word that we hear. That was the problem with Israel in the wilderness, is they didn't mix the word with faith. They didn't really believe God would do what He said He would do, and many of them fell along the way. So whenever we ask God for something, we need to first believe it in our hearts, that we already possess it. Mark 11:22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. So notice that your prayer, okay, needs to be mixed also with thanksgiving. When we come to God, we come to Him with thanksgiving in our hearts. We enter His gates, Psalms 100, with what? Thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Thanksgiving is acknowledging God's goodness towards us. Amen? Not only in the present, but in the past and in the future. I want to talk about that some more in just a few minutes. Thanksgiving acknowledges God's goodness in the past, but also acknowledges his goodness in the present and in the future. So what I would suggest, the prayer of faith coupled with thanksgiving, because prayer needs to be coupled with thanksgiving, is you and I, when we ask God, we also, in faith, we thank God for the answer in advance, as if it's already been done. If you believe that God is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, Hebrews 11:6, right? Then we can ask in faith and believe that it's already done. When you pray for a miracle, if you pray for somebody to be healed, you need to pray as though it's already done. Whether or not you see with your natural eyes anything right now, you pray and you believe and you thank God for taking care of it. It's settled. We gave it to God. Amen? And we leave the results up to the Lord. And many times people are healed instantly. Sometimes they walk away and are healed. Sometimes the next morning they wake up and they're healed. And sometimes they're not healed at all. So it's up to God, isn't it? You ask, you seek, you knock. But the answer is going to be yes, no, or possibly wait. And it's the waiting game sometimes, the waiting part that is difficult. Because often God is giving you and I a promise. He gives us a promise, but we get in a hurry. We don't wait things out. And what happened to Israel is they got impatient. And the next thing they wanted to do is go back to slavery, go back to Egypt again, because they got impatient in the process. They were not believing through to the promise, but they gave up. They quit in the midst of their journey because they didn't believe God. God wants us to believe him. It's an insult to his character, to his nature, when we don't believe his word. And the key here is that we hear what God is saying clearly, know it's from God, and then you stand on that word and you don't waver. When you ask for wisdom, for example, James is using this example, he says, don't doubt. Don't doubt when you ask. Believe. If you ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. So he's talking about instability. I don't know about you, but I have been experiencing some turbulence. Anybody beside myself? I know some of you are just too spiritual, but, you know. There's definitely some turbulence, but, you know, that turbulence is not a bad thing because a tree needs some turbulence. All right? To get deep roots. To become stable. All right? I mean, if you're just like a cabbage. You know, we don't need any cabbage Christians, right? We just, but there's no longevity. But an oak, amen, is something that grows strong, slowly, and is immovable, amen? I mean, it's one of the strongest trees known to man. Okay, so God wants some oaks, all right, not cabbages. So advance thanksgiving is important because you and I are saying, God, I don't see it, but I hear what you're saying and I'm agreeing with what you're saying and I'm going to believe that your promise is good. I count it done already by faith, and it's just a matter now of standing my ground, standing firm, believing until we see the answer come. God's timing is not our timing. We sit down and we try to rationalize and think in our own minds how this is all going to work out. What's going on in America? How is God going to do it? Is God going to do it? You know what I'm saying? And right now, a lot of people are being shaken. And guys, this is no time to be shaken. We just need to get our roots deeper into God. Amen. There are winds blowing, but God wants to bring stability to his people. Amen. So we're not going to fall apart. But we will be the pillars and the people that he's positioning right now. To be able to help those who are struggling, who are in fear. How many know that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind? In Philippians 4:6, we know this so well. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, here it is, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Colossians 4:2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with what? Thanksgiving. Receiving an inheritance. Here's an example. Let's say Uncle Bubba, if you're from Montana, maybe, or Texas, or if you're from New York, it might be Uncle Louie. I'm from the East Coast, so. Uncle Louie dies, and he has an inheritance that he has put in your name. And so you get a notification. You get a letter. You get a testament, a will. Has your name on it, says, this belongs to you. The first thing you're going to see is the letter stating that you have an inheritance. First thing. Amen? But you haven't seen it yet. But in your mind's eye, you start to think about, wow, I think he had a Winnebago. Yeah, I don't know. Do they even make them anymore? I don't know. Uncle Louie, yeah, he had that nice yacht. Cool. You start thinking about all the stuff you're going to get, right? Because it's yours and the inheritance. However, you haven't seen it yet. It hasn't been substance to you yet, okay? All you have is what? A promise of something that is yet to come into your possession. Follow me. God's word, God's promises are like that. He promises us things in his word that even though you may not see it now, you believe the report that this is valid, that this promise is good, that God means what he says. It's a legal document. And I'm going to believe until the day comes when I actually receive the inheritance in its fullness. And it requires faith. It requires confidence in the document that this is a true word. Amen. It's not a fake document. What God says, he means, even though I'm not seeing everything right now, I can see beyond the moment, the temporary, and see through eyes of faith, confidence that the author, the one who wrote this, amen, the Holy Spirit, amen, is true. And even though everything in the natural and the external may be speaking something contrary to what God said, I have to focus in on what God said, and I need to cut out all the other distractions. I need to be single-minded, amen, when it comes to faith in what God said in order to receive the promises of God. Is this making sense? So the enemy is trying to divide your mind, get you confused, get you to doubt. Well, I went through the drive-through prayer window. I placed my order, and the line was really short, so I got right up to the window. Okay, where's my stuff? Where's my need, right? Where's my answered prayer? How many know that God's timing is perfect? Sometimes the things that we're asking for are not in agreement with his will, and they're not good for us, and this is where we need to trust God. He knows what's best for us because he has a different prescription for every one of our lives. He's working out his plan in us. If we belong to him, he's working out a plan, and this is where we need to lean back in his arms and let go and trust the document. God gave us his word. He gave us his promise. He's faithful to his promises. Amen. And one day we're going to see what we had believed for, because God is faithful and the timing is in the hands of the Lord. This is the thing. We get impatient. I asked, nothing happened. Oh, it must not be God's will. Anybody beside myself been there before? Just keeping it real. So you believe the promise before you see it in substance. The first thing we do, guys, is when we hear something, in our mind's eye or in our imagination, we begin to picture it. You know what I'm talking about? An artist first has to have a concept in his mind, okay, of what he wants to paint. He has to see it first before it becomes a reality. God gave us an imagination. An imagination is like a blank screen. It can be used for good or for bad. It depends on what we're going to project upon the screen, what we're going to think on, what we're going to entertain in our mind. Okay? We'll determine what we create first in our mind and what actually happens in our lives. Because before we sin, we have to first think about it. And if we're thinking in the wrong direction, if we're allowing the wrong things to be projected upon the screen of the imagination, it's only a matter of time before you start to act upon that imagination. That's why we need to take these imaginations captive, and we're going to get into that in just a few minutes here. But God's word is his promise. Now, before you can imagine something, right? You can create it. Or if you can imagine something, you can create it, whether that's good or bad. Remember in Babel in Genesis 11:6, the Lord said, "Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language." This was a time in history when there was one world order. Sound familiar? Everybody coming together. Common language, common currency, probably common religion. And this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing they propose, which means imagine, to do will be withheld from them. So we were created in God's image, and God gave us imagination. But with an imagination also comes a responsibility. Now, this is the problem, is because when man fell, we became subject, okay, to the lies of Lucifer, to the deception of Lucifer, okay? And therefore, we have to be careful. We have to guard our imagination, okay? Because what happened is God forbid them to eat from the what? The tree that was in the midst of the garden, which was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So because of the fall in our natural person, not the new creation, but the natural man, okay, he has access to both good and evil. See, God wanted mankind to remain innocent. That's another teaching for another day, right? But because of the choices of our forefathers, sin has come upon all, and that imagination now has to be controlled. We have to be careful that we don't allow our imagination to go in the wrong places. That's why you see indescribable evil in the world. It's because man is fallen and he has access to evil, to the depths of evil, if he wants to plunge there. At the same time, man has access to the good. Amen? We have knowledge of good and evil. So we have to choose life, which is the word of God. God's word supersedes all other words. Amen? And so our imagination is good because God gave it to us. And originally it was to be used for good. Because with our imagination, because we were made in God's image, we can also create. If you look around in this room, there's creations. Amen? You know, one thing that man can't do is he can't create the elements that we create with. God creates the elements. Amen? We just use the elements, all right, to make stuff. Right? And the same thing is true with the devil. He can't create except out of what already is. And what he actually does is he takes what God has created that is good and orderly and beautiful and perverts it. He wants to pervert your life by first getting in and having access to your imagination with your consent, of course. We have to make a decision who we're going to listen to, who we're going to serve. Now, remember in Matthew 5:28, Jesus said this, "I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Now, how can a person commit adultery in his or her heart. Because what we do outwardly is a reflection of what is happening internally. What we do outwardly is a reflection to what is actually happening internally. What are we doing? We have to first focus, okay? We have to first imagine. We have to create first in our mind. So if a man looks upon a woman and he allows his imagination to go into places where are forbidden, how many know that God created sex and sex is good? He's not against it. Amen. He created marriage and all that. But sex in its proper context is beautiful. But outside of the bounds or the structure of God, it becomes evil and destructive. So first, the imagination. And that's why we have to guard our minds, our imagination. And we need God's power, God's ability to do that. We need to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're being kept by the Spirit in peace, right? And in purity. And it doesn't mean as you walk in the Spirit that you're not going to be tempted, but we will have the ability to say no to temptation because we're strong in Him and weak in us. Remember when Jesus found His disciples sleeping in the garden? He says, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Could you not pray 1 hour? He says, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Pray that you enter not into temptation. There's a connection, all right, to being weak in the spirit and being subject to temptation. The devil watches us. He studies us. He wants you and I to let our guard down. He wants you and I to become spiritually lazy, to where we're not cultivating a life of prayer. Because with prayer comes His presence. His presence is power for overcoming. Are you hearing me, somebody? You and I are incapable of overcoming this world apart from the power of Jesus Christ in our lives. And if we don't have a prayer life, we're not going to be walking in victory. You need to know that you, apart from Jesus, can do zero. Amen? The same thing for me. We need to depend upon the ability God supplies us. So the invisible realm is really superior to the natural realm. And so we have to guard our imagination. Because what the devil wants to do is he wants to get a hold of your imagination. He wants you to consent, to allow him, okay, to get into your head and allow you to focus on things that are evil. Thus giving him permission to take away the authority that God gives you to resist him. Do you understand? When we willfully yield to sin and to Satan, we're giving him permission to usurp the authority that God has given us to resist him. The devil just wants your attention. He wants an audience. He's a narcissist. He says, look at me. And God says, look here. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. And pay no attention to that big facade up on the screen that the world is projecting in order to control the masses through mind control. And so many already have been duped into believing the lie. Before the actual Antichrist can come to power, the spirit of Antichrist first has to set the stage for him. And he's working right now very hard. Things are getting close. It's time to draw near to God. We need to pray for revival in America. We need to pray for an awakening in the church. I think this is our finest hour. I believe that God can bring in a tremendous harvest, amen, in America. And God's heart and desire is to do so. And God is turning up the heat right now to cause people to realize that without Him, we can't do this. We can't make this. We were created for Him. We were designed for a relationship with Jesus Christ, amen. And apart from Him, amen, life is chaotic. Amen. Wherever God is not is evil. It's dark. Amen. But where God is, there's peace. And God wants you and I to have peace. He doesn't want us to be troubled. He doesn't want us to be in fear. He wants us to be in confidence. He wants us to have faith in His promise, His word, that He will never leave us nor forsake us. So as followers of Jesus, our imagination needs to be used for the will of God. You know, Jesus always dug down to the heart of the matter. You know, He dealt with the root of things. You know, the religious people of His day thought they were righteous until Jesus showed up. They were holier than thous, you know, until Jesus showed up and started exposing the inner parts, the motives of their hearts. Oh, that's what happens when people get upset. I used to get upset when somebody would tell me, you know, something that I knew was right, but I didn't want to hear it. It's called conviction. The Holy Spirit convicts you. And you're like, yes, Lord, you're right. And you're always right. What are you going to do about it? I repent. I change my mind. Amen. I'm putting a stop to that projection on the screen right now. I'm going to take those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ by the ability that God supplies through His Holy Spirit. Otherwise, I'm yielding myself to someone who hates my guts and wants to destroy me. And he's doing a pretty good job with humanity, isn't he? Look what he's done in our own lives, even. Jesus said in Matthew 15, 18, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." See, people often are concerned about appearance and how they appear and what people perceive of them, you know. But God sees the heart, and He judges according to the heart. He knows who you are. He knows who I am in my secret heart. Hello. That's why we're accountable to Him, amen? And we better make sure that we're watching what goes on in the screen there, amen, on the imagination screen. Our inward life will eventually manifest in our outward life. And again, the Pharisees, they were good at covering up. They had people fooled, but Jesus knew their hearts. And listen to what He said in Matthew 23:27. "What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites. For you are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead men's or people's bones and all sorts of impurity. Outwardly, you look like righteous people, but inwardly, your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness." And isn't it interesting that right now, God is taking the lid off everything and exposing all the secret things of darkness and all the hypocrisy of men? Amen. It's put on display right now. Are you seeing it? Because judgment also begins at the house of God, and God's cleaning up His house to His people. So our imaginations need to be set apart for God. They need to be sanctified. That's what that means. For the Lord and for His purposes. 2 Corinthians 10:5. I want to get to this. Casting down. We are to cast down imaginations or arguments. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Well, how many here want to receive from the Lord when you pray? All right, we all do, sure. Now, the first thing we need to do is obey the Lord's commandment to love. You need to first walk in love, okay? Jesus said it in John 15, 16. He says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you." And then He goes on to say, "These things I command you that you what? Love one another." He's saying, obey me in this. Love one another. Forgive one another. Do you know that if you don't forgive people, amen, then it's going to hinder you in your life? It's going to hinder you in your prayers? All right? God's waiting. Sometimes the enemy wants to get in and stir up trouble between brethren or in relationships. Come on. To get us offended. because he knows it will hinder our prayers. Until such time we come to the place where we choose to let that person go and forgive them in obedience to God's command to even love our enemies. Well, that's not possible, humanly speaking. The only way you can love an enemy is by the love of God, because you and I were all once enemies to God. But yet God so loved the world, the enemies of God, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should what? Not perish, but have everlasting life. So God first loved us, agapeoed, amen? That's unidirectional love. It's not conditional love that says, if you love me, I love you. It's, I will love you regardless of whether you love me back. But the desire is that that person would look past even the gift and see the love of the giver and return to God, amen? In gratitude, give him thanks. Give him praise for his goodness. There's a connection between bearing good fruit in our lives and an active prayer life. We cannot bear fruit except by the grace or the ability that God supplies us. And so we need to trust God and not man. We need to stand firm in our faith, because we are being bombarded right now, aren't we? Constantly with pictures, reports, rumors, even that America, you know, is somehow finished and that everything is hopeless. Is anybody getting that message? No, not at all. However, 1 Corinthians 13:7, if you were on my list, you got this yesterday. Love, agape, God is agape. God's kind of love, what? Never gives up, never loses faith, is what? Always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. If we are abiding in his love, then we will overcome. If you are abiding in him who is love, and you are cooperating with him, okay, walking with him, listening to him, allowing him to speak to your imagination, come on, somebody, and telling the devil to speak to the hand because you're not listening, no audience here, then you're in a position to be in partnership with God, to be a friend of God. And a friend of God, he even begins to reveal his secrets to. But without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it's impossible to please him. Now, guys, what we need right now is patience. We need to be patient. We need to settle down. Turn to your neighbor and say, just relax. It's going to be okay. God's got this. God's got this, guys. Listen, it doesn't matter what happens. We're with him. He's for us. Amen. He's going to accomplish his plan in our lives. He's going to have his way. The wicked will be judged. There will be justice. Amen. Hallelujah. God is intervening. God is going to, in his season, in his time, he's going to intervene and he's going to deal with all the foolishness of men. But in the meantime, God says, I want you to be patient. I want you to trust me. I want you to hold fast to the faith, amen, to my promises that I will be with you. If you got to walk through the water, I will be with you, amen. Israel is up against the Red Sea. The only place they could go is through the sea. How are we going to do this? Well, God makes a way so they can go out on dry land. God's not through with you, with me. And I don't believe he's through with this nation, guys. I think that what's going to happen is we're going to see the greatest move of God in our history. And you know what? We're believing for that. We are contending for that. We are praising God and calling on him, amen, that God's going to bring his justice, hallelujah. And we're not going to give up. We have to hold fast. As Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. Don't let the devil rob you of your faith. Amen. Don't let him rob you of your confidence. Love is always hopeful. Love does not give up. Amen. God needs some warriors right now. He needs some people to rise up in this hour, some Joshua and Calebs, and believe him. Amen. Let's join together and pray. Hallelujah. His kingdom come and his will be done. And guys, there is a silver lining in everything that you see. Even in the ugly and the bad things that happen, God turns everything around. He works it all together for our what? Good. That's his promise, Romans 8:28. He causes all things to work together for the good to them that love the Lord. Do you love the Lord today? Then he's going to work all these things together for your good. Listen to this, Hebrews 11:6 in the Amplified. But without faith, it is impossible to please and be satisfactory to him. For whoever would come near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that he is the rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek him. Guys, if you and I are in faith, if we believe God, then we will be persistent in our prayers. If we have faith, then we will pray in the first place, right? If I don't believe God, and if I don't believe that God can answer prayer, God's not going to do anything, which is what the devil's trying to talk people into right now, and to believe, that it's just too far gone, it's just too bad, it's just too impossible. You might as well just quit and go home with your tail between your legs. Give up in the fight. Has anybody heard that? The devil's a liar. He is worried about those who believe their God, or those who will stand in the gap right now on behalf of our nation. Guys, the most important thing, I want you to hear this, is not even what's going on with our government right now. The most important thing is the souls of humanity. Jesus shed his blood on that cross. He died for the sins of the world. He's not willing that anyone should perish, but he wants people to be saved right now. Amen. That needs to be our primary focus, our goal. Amen. Is to reach the lost and to make disciples as Jesus gave us commandment. That's what we're supposed to be about. Amen. In the meantime, we pray for our government, for our officials, for those who are in charge. Amen. And we know that God can turn things around in America, but I do believe that God is going to pour out his spirit like we've never known before. And what happens is desperate times cause desperate reactions from people. Amen. People start to get fearful and they're saying, well, I'm all out of dope. I'm all out of booze. What am I going to do now? How about trying Jesus? Amen. And you don't get hung over. How about finding your peace in him? If you want to get high, go to the Most High. So the devil is looking to divide our minds. Remember Abraham here again, Romans 4:17. As it is written, this is speaking of Abraham's faith. I have made you a father of many nations. The Lord gave him a promise. And in the presence of him who he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. That's kind of odd language, isn't it? He calls those things which do not exist as though they did. It doesn't mean that they didn't actually exist in the invisible, eternal, spiritual realm. It just meant that the things that they could see, the tangible things, were not there to look at. Again, back to the letter, back to the will and testament, back to the document that says, this is my promise. You may not see it right now, but first you have to believe it. Amen. In your imagination, you have to start believing the word of God is a valid document. It's true. It works. And then wait patiently for the day when you receive the promise, because you didn't quit. You didn't give up. You didn't say, oh, this is bunk and throw it out. That's what people are doing. You know, that's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to give up the fight. He doesn't want people to stand in the gap and fight for their country, fight for their children, fight for their families. Amen. Fight for their loved ones and their neighbors. He just wants people to just accept, oh, that's just the way it has to be. But God can intervene. God can change anything. God can make, amen, manna come down from heaven. He can cause water to come from a rock. He can make axe heads float. God can do anything. There's nothing impossible with him. And Jesus said, all things are possible to them that believe. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. The New Living Translation says it this way. That is what the scripture means when God told Abraham, I have made you the father of many nations. This happened, listen, because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. I don't see it, but that doesn't mean it's not there. Faith is seeing that promise as a present reality in the spirit realm, as being there now. Faith draws that from the invisible into the visible. Are you hearing that? You don't see it with your natural eyes, but you believe in your heart first that it is a reality. And we call it in. Lord, release your spirit now. Lord, release your salvation, your healing, your deliverance upon our nation. Because we believe that's your heart. That's your desire. That God wants to bring revival. We need to pray and believe and stand in the gap until we see the glory of God come down. Amen. And I believe God's going to release it in ways we've never experienced before. We've had times, really good times of refreshing. Amen. But I believe what God has in store for those who believe is so much better. I don't want to miss out on the next wave of God's glory through unbelief. See, the devil's trying to talk people out of it. He's just going to say, oh, you might as well quit. You might as well give up. It's not going to happen. He's a liar. Joshua and Caleb weren't listening to the lies of the spies. They were aligning themselves with unbelief, with the enemy who was exaggerating the situation. They were looking through natural reason and say, well, naturally speaking, yeah, we're no match for these giants. They were literal giants. But they're no match for our God. And if we have confidence in our God will answer and our God will take out the giant. Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of your God. Amen. Luke 11:34. Jesus said this, interesting. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good or single, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Now, Paul, you have been experiencing double vision. God has taken care of that. God has healed you of that. But when you have double vision, everything is what? Distorted, right? Which way to go, right? Yeah. Well, I believe this is really an example of what happens in the human eye, you know. And if your eye is healthy, you can see clearly. But if it's not healthy, then your vision is obscured. And when your vision is obscured, and you've always had obscured vision, that obscured vision or that blurred vision to you is normal. Right? So I'm used to seeing things this way and perceiving things this way and declaring things to be this way because that's how I see reality. Because I'm functioning, okay, and seeing things through a lens that is distorted. But if you've never had clear vision, that's normal. Hello? The entrance of God's word brings light. It brings clarity. It brings single vision. So you can see what God is saying and know that God means what he says. And I need to hold on to the promise of God and not waver. Not be divided. Not be double visioned. I've used this example a lot, but I think it's a good example of the, you know, getting glasses for the first time. I thought I was doing okay because I didn't know any better. But the teacher saw me squinting when I was in school. Told my parents, she said, I think your son has got vision problems. You need to get his eyes checked. Sure enough, I needed glasses. And then when I got my glasses, how many of you got, remember getting your glasses the first time? And you put your glasses on, you're like, wow. Everything is so clear, right? I mean, that's what it was like. And it's like, but before that, you were used to seeing things a certain way. Yeah. Are you tracking with this? God is the only one that can give us clear vision. And when you hear his word, when you hear the truth, when you hear a promise of God, you need to hold on to that. Amen. And don't mix it with unbelief and don't allow the devil to get in there and taint it. Amen. Guard your heart with all diligence. Watch your mind. Watch your imagination. What's being projected on the screen? If it's not in agreement with what is pure and holy and lovely and true, good report, all those things. Amen. Then cast it down. Don't entertain it. Amen. If it's something that you know God doesn't approve of, don't entertain it. Amen. Because sin begins first in the imagination. And if we are going to be followers of Jesus, amen, we cannot be double-minded. We have to choose one master. We need to serve him and him only. And if we stray, we get off course. Praise God for the conviction. We can confess and renounce and get back with God again. Amen. If you've been backslidden, you haven't really been walking with God, it's not too late. Get back in the race. But guard yourself. Take captive those thoughts to the obedience of Christ. And listen to what Jesus said in Luke 11:13. He says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? In other words, when we ask God, like James said, we ask in faith. Faith is calling that which is not as though it were. Faith is seeing in the invisible realm first. Faith, if you will, is a sanctified imagination that says, God said this. I heard the report. I received the testament. Come on, somebody. And now I can picture it in my mind. That's what God said is mine. But I don't see it. It doesn't matter. I first believe it. I see it. Amen? And then I start to act upon it. I start to give God thanks in advance for the answer because it's his promise and he's faithful to his promises. He's a promise keeper. And I stand on that word and I don't waver. I don't give up. I'm not giving up on America. Come on, somebody. We need some saints to rise up in this hour and say, we're going to take back our nation. We're going to believe God, amen, for a mighty move of his spirit, that this thing is going to be turned around and there's going to be justice. How many know that God hates injustice? God hates lying. God hates murder. Who are we going to trust? Who are we going to believe? Who are we going to align ourselves with? Let's align ourselves with God. Let's stay on the winning side, amen, here. Hallelujah. How many know we win? In Jesus Christ, we overcome. In Jesus Christ, we will overcome the world. And we look forward to the promise of his coming. It's in the letter. Jesus is going to return. And he's returning for those who are looking for him. Who are those who are looking for him? Those who are living for him. Those who have committed their life to him. It's not about going down and saying, Lord, save me, come into my heart. It's about me dying to myself and say, God, I give you my life now. I'm going to live for you. Did you know that? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's Jesus. We will believe until we see. The psalmist said, I would have lost heart. I would have lost hope unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Hallelujah. Guys, the Lord is calling us to consecration, to a sanctified life. He's calling us to partner with him in his mission in the earth. When you say yes to Jesus, you're saying yes to everything that he commands you to do. You receive the blessings, the benefits, amen, of an inheritance that is reserved in the heavens for you. The Lord allows you to partner with Him so that you can store up for yourself treasure in heaven. He allows you to escape, amen, the torments of hell that was created initially for the angels that left their first abode, the angels that fell. But the Bible says that those who reject the love of the truth, they will be given over to a strong delusion. They will believe the lie, and they will be condemned. If people refuse the love of the truth, if they don't obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, they will be also confined to the same place the fallen angels were confined to, and that is hell, and that is for eternity. And nobody escapes that place. But Jesus doesn't want anybody to go there. That's why He went to the cross, to pay the price that we deserve to pay. Amen, that we could be forgiven and we could be made right with Him, and so that we could receive an inheritance. Hallelujah. And that letter, that love letter that He wrote to us called the Word of God, amen, is for us. And if we will partner with Him now and deny ourselves now and even suffer with Him now, the day will come when we shall also reign with Him. If we're willing to confess Him now, He will confess us before the Father. But if we're unwilling to confess Him before men, He will be unwilling to confess us before the Father and His holy angels. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the Word of God. We thank You for Your promises that are yea and amen. We thank You that You are a promise keeper. We thank You that You are always with us. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. We thank You, Lord, that no one is able to snatch us out of Your hand, that we belong to You. We thank You, Lord, that You have a destiny for us, that You have a future and a hope for us, God. For those who follow You, hallelujah, and those who live for You now, we know that there is a reward someday, Lord. And as for me and my house, we have decided to follow Jesus. We have decided to follow You, Lord God. We pray, Father God, for a baptism with the Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord God, for revival fire to fall upon the Church of Jesus Christ throughout this nation. We pray for an awakening in this nation, and we pray for an awakening in us. God, I pray, wake us up inside. Give us a holy passion, Lord. Let Your fire fall. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, we pray, purify Your people and set our hearts ablaze. Give us holy passion. Because I have decided to follow Jesus. There's no turning back. You have to make a decision who you will serve. Choose this day who you will serve. You cannot serve two masters. Father, help us. Grant us that grace we need to live for You. In Jesus' name.